ports this tantra, and I will explain the reason later on. As today, tomorrow, one session of teaching, which is as today it will start at 1 lunch. Monks and nuns have sojung in the morning. Part I will complete up to the end of the performance tantra. Nagarjuna, in his fundamental wisdom, where he says the Buddha's teaching, the teachings that the Buddha's have, could be included into two, the teaching on conventional truth and teaching on the ultimate truth. So all the vast and profound teachings that the Buddha has given can be included within the teachings on the two truths, that is conventional truth and ultimate truth. And by giving the teaching on the conventional truth, one will be able to develop a good understanding of the infallibility of the level of appearance, In other words, the interdependent nature, and however, when you look into the ultimate nature of that object, you will find that everything lack inherent existence, and thus these two truths have same entity but are of different aspects, different abstracts. So by understanding the meaning of dependent origination, one is able to accumulate merit, and by understanding the meaning of emptiness, one is able to accumulate wisdom. It is through a combined practice of the method and wisdom, through accumulation of merit and wisdom, one should practice the path. And as we discussed earlier, when we enter into the tantric practice, then there is a method to develop this method and wisdom as of same entity. And in the lower classes of tantra, at the level of your imagination, you generate a deity, and it is in this way that there is a yoga of practicing the method and wisdom as of same entity. So that is basically on the level of imagination. Then in the Anuttara Yoga tantric practice, as we discussed yesterday, that there is a method by which one will be actually able to achieve a state where there is total merging of the body and the mind. And this has been called as the unity of the true truths in the Nagarjuna and the teaching of Aryadeva and so forth. So here, when we talk about the unity of truth in the tantric Anuttara Yoga tantric path, we are not talking about the ordinary two truths, that is conditional truth and ultimate truth, but here we are talking about the illusory body as the method, and the wisdom here refers to a wisdom of the clear light mind, which directly perceives the ultimate reality. So we are talking about the unity of these two, the illusory body and the wisdom of clear light mind. So right from the teaching on the meaning of the two truths, as explained in the sutric path, and right from that, it clearly shows that in the law of nature, as a reality, there are two aspects of truth, the conventional and ultimate truth. And as a result of such practice, then gradually you are able to follow the unity of the true truth as is taught in the tantric path. And it is in this way that one actualizes the form body and the truth body, and particularly through the practice of the unity of the true truth in the tantric sense, one is able to actualize the total unity of the mind and the body of the Buddha as the resultant state of Buddhahood. And however, when we recite this quotation from the fundamental wisdom by Nagarjuna, where he says that the teachings of the Buddha are included in the two truths, the conventional truth and the ultimate truth, even though this teaching is based on the meaning of the two truths as is found in the sutra, but by giving such a teaching on the meaning of the true truth in the sutric level, a foundation is laid, a basis is laid by which one can gradually understand the meaning of the true truth as is explained in the highest Yoga Tantra or Anuttara Yoga Tantra. So from the performance tantra, we were reading on the outline which deals with the meaning of the individual classifications. This has two outlines. The first outline deals with the explanation of the yoga with sign, and this will be explained under two outlines. The first outline deals with the recitation of the four external branches. And here Tsongkhapa says that presently, even though you find many practitioners reciting and meditating on a deity as is explained in the action tantra, but there we do not see many people who are undertaking the recitation and meditation on the deity depending on the explanation of the performance tantra. So whether you follow the action tantra or performance tantra, generation of the deity is done by first reflecting on the meaning of emptiness. And Tsongkhapa also says that once you know how to cultivate the yoga with sign and without sign, it will be easier for you to understand the other branches. So, therefore, I will not explain here the topics related to protecting oneself and protecting the place, and then making offerings to the merit field, and also making offerings to the deity and singing the praises to the deity. So here Tsongkhapa will explain primarily about the two yogas and the stages of meditation and recitation. And out of the four branches, external branches, the first branch is generating oneself into the is meditation on emptiness before generating oneself into the deity. And here, these psychophysical aggregate that you have, which is dependent on the four great elements, in its ultimate sense, it is like a space. And therefore, but conventionally or nominally, you should see that as a kind of reflection. And this is what has been understood and realized by the Buddhas. So therefore, since there is no higher truth than what is being seen by the Buddhas, that you should also realize this fact as seen by the Buddhas. So therefore, whether it is yourself or the deity that you have meditated, visualized, you should see both of them like inherent existence. And since they arise by depending on many other factors, they should be seen like a reflection. And it is in this way that you should establish the lack of inherent existence of oneself and the deity. And then you should see the indivisibility of the nature of lack of inherent existence of your person and the deity. And try to develop strong conviction towards that. And once you are able to develop stable conviction, then you should generate the deity, as is said in the Verojana Abhisambodhi. It is because of this closely interconnected nature, whichever is the nature of a deity, you are able to see yourself in the form of their deity. And whichever is the nature of deity, you will be able to see that as your ultimate nature. And so therefore, it is really important to understand the meaning of lack of inherent existence in this way. When you recite and reflect on the Sanskrit mantra, Om Sarva Dharma Swabhava Shuddha, so forth. And without such an understanding, if you simply dissolve your appearance, it doesn't really serve any purpose. So it is because of this nature of interdependent origination that you should be able to see yourself as having no inherent existence, and similarly lack of inherent existence of all phenomena. And from the fact and perspective of your nature being empty of inherent existence, and the nature of the deity as being of inherent existence, there is no difference. And in other words, in the perspective of ultimate reality, there is no difference between your ultimate reality and ultimate reality of the Buddha. So it is in this way that you should first meditate on the suchness. And in the case of sutric path, one meditates only on that meaning of emptiness, and there is no way to use the basis of that emptiness as the path. But here in the case of tantra practice, you maintain this feeling of pride of Dharmakaya when you enter into absorption on that meaning of emptiness, and then from that state of the perception of emptiness, you arise yourself into the form of a pure deity body. So it is in this way that you are able to leave a positive imprint to actualize both the Dharmakaya and the Rupakaya. And of course, while on the stage of practice, you need to first meditate on emptiness, which is meditating on Dharmakaya, maintain pride on the Dharmakaya in that way, and then that very mind that perceives emptiness is generated into the form of a deity. So that is a living imprint to actualize the form body. So that is how you practice on the path. But when you actually achieve the state of enlightenment, then as soon as you actualize Dharmakaya, simultaneously you actualize the form body. There is no skewness, there's no systematic order as we do on the path of the practice. Now, with regard to how you arise into the form of a deity from the state of emptiness, in the concise commentary, it speaks about two ways of generating oneself into deity from that state of emptiness. One way is to dissolve all appearances and visualize one's aspect of the mind transforming into a moon disk, and then it is based on that moon disk one gradually arises into the form of deity. And the second stage or second way of generating oneself into a deity is not visualizing the moon and so forth, but one instantaneously generate oneself into the deity. So in the case of the first practice, that is first generating one's generating the moon and then generating into the deity, in accordance with that explanation, first one should visualize generating a full moon disk, and on that you should visualize syllable Am, and then through the emanation and the dissolution of light, this syllable Am also transforms, and then it arises in then from that state one arises into the form of the great Vairochana, one face, two hand, sitting in a cross, his hands in a meditative equipoise, yellow color, and sitting on a white lotus and moon seat with crowns and silk upper garments and lower garments. And then you should perform the concise or elaborate ways of receiving the blessing and transforming through the mantra. And the second basis is to generate a Buddha or meditate a Buddha similar to oneself in front. And then you should imagine a moon disk at the heart of that Buddha or Tathagata. And that is the basis to focus when you engage in the recitation of the mantra. And it is therefore on that moon disk you visualize the rings of mantra which you are going to recite. Now, with regard to the meaning of the two letters which is explained here in the Vairochana Abhisambodhi, even though it is not clearly explained in the commentary of the Vairochana Abhisambodhi, but in the commentary of the later concentration, subsequent concentration, it refers to the recitation and the rings of mantra which you use during the practice of the four branches. And it is not talking about the moon and the mantra which we generate when we generate ourselves into a deity. So by controlling the vital energy and stopping effort, you try to generate a vivid appearance of yourself as a deity, and then you focus on that and try to achieve concentration and total effort. And then you focus on the letters and the syllables, and then you undertake the recitation. And this is similar to what has been explained in the Action Tantra. Now, with regard to how to transfer from one object to another object of focus, it says that by focusing on the mantra that you visualized on the moon disk at your heart in front of the deity or Tathagata, if you get tired, then you should let your mind focus on your heart. And if you get tired focusing on that, then you should focus on the heart, the rings of mantra at the heart of the deity generated in front. Even though the text uses the term mental recitation, but this is just in both whispered recitation and also mental recitation. And next second outline speaks about the four branch internal recitations. Now this four branched internal recitation is done by first dissolving everything into the state of emptiness, and then from the state of emptiness you imagine the arisal of the four syllables a, om, a, and from any of these four letters or syllables, as before, you should generate yourself into the deity. So that is the first basis. And in the commentary of the summary meaning, it speaks about generating oneself from that syllable into Buddha Shakyamuni. And at its heart, you should imagine extremely clear and pure disc or mandala of moon, which is very stable and which is like a mirror. And then you should continue your meditation until you are able to see your body as the body of a deity. And the second basis is to focus within the moon the existence of Vairochana, just like someone sitting inside a cave. And at its heart, you should imagine the presence of the rings of mantra, and then focusing on that, you should undertake recitation. And you should recite the mantra 100,000 times. And during these two recitations, and when you engage in mental recitation, again you need to control the vital energy and stop making effort. And it is in this way that you continue to focus on the body of the deity, let your mind stay on that. And then by depending or relying on the application of the energy, you should continue your meditation until you are able to develop shamat or kami abiding. The meditation on yoga with sign. Next second line, second outline is explanation of the yoga without sign. By focusing on the body of a deity, when you are able to cultivate calmly abiding mind, then you should meditate on emptiness. Now here, when you are asked to meditate on emptiness, we are not talking about meditating on emptiness in the usual sense, because earlier, by following the sutra practice, we have undertaken the practice of meditation on emptiness. So here, by focusing on a subtle object like that of image of a deity, you develop calmly abiding mind, and after having found such a calmly abiding mind, then you meditate on emptiness. As the process of meditation on emptiness is as explained in the Virochana Abhisambodhi, where it says whether it is in a garden or in a temple or in a cave, you choose a quiet, solitary place, and then there you should meditate on bodhicitta until you are able to get the sign. So bodhicitta, meditating on bodhicitta here refers to meditating on ultimate bodhicitta, that is meditating on emptiness. And when it says you should meditate until you should continue sitting there and continue your meditation until you are able to get a sign. Sign here refers to the understanding and realization of the lack of entity-ness or lack of inherent existence of all phenomena, and you should continue that meditative stabilization until you are able to develop genuine stability. Now here, before you undertake the practice of the four branch recitations, it speaks about the need to meditate on emptiness, but it basically shows the need to reflect on emptiness before meditating on the deity. Because the actual stages of meditation on emptiness as your main meditation, then it has to be done by first meditating on the deity yoga. And the process of meditation on signlessness is explained in detail in that very tantric text. So here in this tantric text it says, O Lord of the Secret, a bodhisattva who undertakes practice through the door of the tantra and who wants to engage and lead the way of life of a bodhisattva, and who wants to actualize the meditative stabilization without sign, should reflect in this way. From where the sign comes? Is it from my body? Is it my body? Is it my mind? Or is it from my mental consciousness? Now in the case of body, the body itself is born out of the body or physical object. It is just like grass, tree, or any other external body. So therefore it is devoid of entity. So it is out of lack of understanding that to this external aspect, which is like a reflection, we had given the name physical body. Now to this superficial type of body form, if someone out of anger harms that body by using fire or poison or weapon, or with any other object, and then in that case, whether it's burnt or whether it is destroyed, there is no need to feel slightest displeasure. And likewise, to that person, Even if vast varieties of offerings are made, like offering of food, drink, or giving bath, giving ointments, garlands, clothes, etc., that person will not feel especially happy or delighted. Why is it that? Because this form, this body, which is devoid of inherent existence, when someone harms or someone makes offerings out of misconception and then one is able to see that person as childish, and all his activities will be seen as childish. And so in this way we can think about emptiness of oneself and all other phenomena. For example, even with regard to the three times, if you search them, you are unable to find it. When you reflect on the external object, they are related more to the past and the future, and not so much to the present. But when you reflect to your internal feelings, then the present time becomes more kind of dominant. In this way that one can meditate on the lack of inherent existence of the body, and having established the lack of inherent existence of the body, you should similarly analyze your mind. So it is in this reference that His Holiness was speaking about the lack of inherent existence of the three times. If you analyze the mind, you will not find the mind in any of the three times. And that which is devoid of the three times is absent of inherent existence. And when you meditate in this way, then you are able to actualize the meditative stabilization without sign. And one who is able to actualize such a meditative stabilization without sign, such a person will then move towards the secret tantric practices. So all these quotations from the tantra clearly explains how the mind is devoid of inherent existence, and how that the mind is how one grasps this mind as having inherent or true existence due to mental designation. And when you analyze your body and mind in this way, you will be able to actualize the meditative stabilization without sign of true existence. And once you are able to actualize such a meditative stabilization, then you will be able to actualize the accomplishments of the tantric practices. So it is in this way that you should discover or find the truth of lack of inherent existence of all phenomena by employing different reasons, like the diamond sliver reason, or the reason of it being free from one or free from many, and then after engaging in such analysis, and then let your mind focus on that conclusion, the meaning that you have understood through binding the energy and without making any effort, without letting your mind get distracted towards the external object. So it is in this way, do not let your mind engage in the object. But But as Tsongkhapa said here, it is primarily not engaging in an external object by remembering and recollecting the view of emptiness. So here when we talk about mentally not engaging in anything, it could have two meanings. One is simply maintaining a non-conceptual state where you do not let your mind engage in any object. We are not talking about that here, but here we are talking primarily about the practice of non-engagement, in the sense that you focus or recollect and remember only the meaning of the view or emptiness. So in such a state of such a mental state of non-engagement, that there will be no appearances of the color of the deity, the shape of the deity, and so forth. So the mind is totally kind of merged with the emptiness. This process of meditation on emptiness or yoga without sign accords the explanation found in Kamala Shila's Stages of Meditation. For example, in the last part of the Stages of Meditation, Kamala Shila cites a quotation from the Arya Dharma Cloud Sutra, where it says that a person who thus becomes well skilled in understanding the fault meditates on the yoga of emptiness, which is a state free from all types of elaborations. And such a person, by meditating repeatedly on emptiness, and when one's mind gets distracted towards any object, any pleasurable object, then one examines the nature of that object and finds that it also lacks inherent existence. And then one focuses on the nature of the mind itself and also finds lack of inherent existence of that mind. And what is being realized and perceived by that mind, when you search the nature of that object, also one finds the meaning of emptiness. So it is in this way and through such a realization that one enters into the yoga without sign. So this is further explained by Tsongkhapa by saying that it is through the analytical process of understanding the emptiness that you should gradually enter into the yoga without sign. So in this way, when we talk about the practice of the performance tantra, it basically contains four essential yoga: the yoga of deity, the yoga of emptiness, the yoga of energy, and yoga of recitation. And so this could be explained in the sense of the yoga of deity with the conventional aspect and the yoga of deity with ultimate aspect. So these two practices are the main stuff, the main cause for actualizing the two bodies of the Buddha. And the recitation is necessary to invoke the mind of that deity that you have visualized, and so that could be included in the yoga of the deity of the conventional practice. And then the yoga of the energy is a factor that would help you stabilize the two yogas, and that could be therefore included in the yoga with sign and without sign. However, it is said that in the performance tantra there is no practice of completion stage. So therefore, even by holding the energy within, even if you are able to develop meditative stabilizations which is non-conceptual, clear and full of bliss, and based on that you will be able to actualize the yoga without sign, but you should not think that this realization and understanding is a practice of completion stage. So therefore it is important to develop a clear-cut understanding between such realization based on yoga without sign and the uncommon practice or realization based on completion stage, as is explained in the completion stage. Unless you know that, you will not be able to discover the subtleties of these different tantric paths, and you will also not be able to discover the uncommon paths found in the higher tantric classes. The last and the fourth outline explains about what kind, how one should achieve the different feats and accomplishments after having undergone the retreat. With regard to different types of accomplishment, there are different types of accomplishments. One could become a knowledge holder of the sword by relying on external substance like a sword and so forth. And then also with regard to one's own internal physical body, by meditating on fire, water, mandala of fire, water, energy and so forth, one is able to accomplish different activities like peaceful activity of increase and so forth. And then by propitiating and practicing deities like Manjushri, when you get the sign that the Bodhisattva like Manjushri actually touches on your head and says well done. So until you get such signs, you should continue your recitation and meditation, and it is in this way that you will be able to actualize accomplishments like the meditative stabilization of not forgetting what you have studied, what you have memorized. And then finally, in the concluding verse, Tsongkhapa says that I have explained this performance tantra by relying on the tantric text of Verochana Abhisambodhi and the commentary by Guha Samaja. And these stages of explanation of the two yogas will therefore become a path to quickly enter into the performance tantra. So this completes the third chapter on the performance tantra. Next is conferment of Chidamani Tara.
Oh. Sojin jamu tena kanjo zora